In the chaos of the defeated administration's final hours, one cruel step was finalizing a plan to turn over sacred Apache ground in Arizona to a mining company, a plan first approved by the late Senator John McCain. While the term being used is land exchange, that's not at all what we're talking about from a Native American point of view. With insights as to where things stand now, I am grateful to be joined by Winsler Nosey Sr., former chairman and councilman of the San Carlo Apache tribe. Dr. Nosey, welcome to State of Belief Radio. For those who are not familiar with the nature of sacred tribal lands, would you start with just a brief explanation of the Oak Flat site?
Okay, well, the Oak Flat in Apache is called Sechebegoste, which means, you know, it means actually two things. One is that it has one of the oldest embryo oak trees there, but the most important part is that since time immemorial for us, this has been a sacred and holy place. And what I tell people is that, you know, to really make them understand, is no different than when they speak of Mount Sinai and when they speak of angels. It's just the fact that in Apache, you know, we call them gone, which is like angel, means, actually means angel in the right definition. So that's who they are to us. You know, mm-hmm. It's a buffer between heaven and earth. Mm-hmm. And so these sacred places are places where the Creator God, you know, put these spirits to be, like no different than you find like in the European countries where they talk about sacred and holy places that certain events took place, you know, that created the Bible. But it's the same thing here. So this is mm-hmm. what we're talking about in the religious sense.
The ugly history of betrayal at Oak Flat goes back years, I know. Would you just briefly summarize the history of that?
Well, you know, before any migration in this area, you know, before the transition took place, you know, this place, Oak Flats, was an area where many of the tribes exercised their religious belief, not just the Apaches. And there was an ongoing relationship with this holy place. And then when the territory was, you know, when the new people came in, the first big reservation, this was on the reservation as far as like how they're outlining territories. And it was in the Apache territory. But then eventually when they found silver, gold, and then eventually copper, they began to dwindle down the reservation. And then in the mid-1800s to late 19, like around 1904, 1905, where they were taking parcels of land away to what we have today. And so so Oak Flats, you know, the area has always been in indigenous, you know, territory since the beginning. And even when the first outline of the territories were outlined before, you know, Arizona became Arizona. And so it's been the center part of not only Apaches, but, you know, the Yavapai, the Ottoms, and the Peeposh, you know, because they knew it was sacred. We had these angels, deities there.
Mm. Dr. Nosey, what do our listeners need to know about Apache Stronghold? How was the organization started, and what are the primary aims of it?
Well, the Apache Stronghold was really, you know, for me being a kid and being raised with my around my grandfather, my uncles, my dad, and, you know, when they sat around and, you know, talked about the promises of the United States, that once we become, civilized, you know, that, you know, all these important land bases, you know, would return back and they will be able to go home. So I grew up like in the late 50s, early 60s, where, you know, a lot of the older people were waiting for that day, and it never came. And so as I moved forward, you know, I started realizing that, you know, the intent of the United States and looking at the treaty and responsibilities they have with the tribe was never going to happen, you know, that I would end up being the same way with my forefathers. and then my children would run, you know, into the same problem. But, you know, then all of a sudden, these places that are held in trust, like through the Forest Service, through the United States, we're now being under attack, you know, and, mm-hmm. and little did we know that, you know, Mount Graham, one place, and then Oak Flats, you know, another sacred, two sacred places were now being exempt from all federal laws. And then so, you know, and the religious part of my, it's been a religious journey. And like I told people that the only way I'm approaching this is spiritually because, you know, fighting these laws of fighting politicians, you know, is a real, it's a really tough thing to do, you know. So the only thing I could do is just really put my faith and belief in the hands of God that this is wrong, you know, that there's got to be a better outcome. And it's one of the things that my mother always reminded me was there's good people in this world, and if you find them, you know, they'll help make the difference because what we're fighting is something really evil. And little did she know, you know, she was talking about a corporate way of life that, you know, has really interjected itself in every day and has really, you know, not just to Native people, but to all people. It really has, you know, split us from the reality of the earth and what, mm-hmm. you know, what the earth gives as survival. And so it's been a religious journey, but anything, you know, I mean, I think a lot of people who have congregated with me have been religious people, you know, from the different nationalities. And I'm really grateful because they know that it's a human fight. It's a human position that we got to take before, you know, we ruin the earth even more so. And so, you know, so the Apache stronghold is people of a religious, you know, belief. And then some who don't, you know, they know that they can't survive without water. They can't survive without the earth. And, you know, so they see the importance of that. So I think, you know, we're all on a common ground when it comes to, you know, the Apache stronghold. And it's not just Apaches that are members. You know, we have a lot of non-Indians that are members because of the religious position that we've taken in this fight.
Last year, you led a march to Oak Flat and vowed to face whatever risks were required. Please talk about that experience and what you learned from it.
Well, I went to D.C. and delivered my letter to Washington and, you know, gave the CC copies out to the agencies and also here in Arizona that I was vacating, leaving the reservation and going home because of the negligence of the Forest Service. And so, you know, the experience of going back, you know, to where all this religious ways had originated from was really a tremendous feeling of some kind of freedom, you know, breaking away from this prisoner land, this reservation that was first was a prison, you know, and then them telling us to live here, but vacating and just, you know, feeling my people before me, how they were forced march onto the reservation, and then just being able to walk out, you know, and it was really a really heartfelt feeling, and being there for a whole year plus has been even more of an eye opening because when it comes to our religion in our language and our songs, you know, it all fit the puzzle. And but the sadness of it was knowing that not all my people, you know, that we're still stuck in this dilemma of being on the reservation and that, you know, being restricted to it, believe, you know, how we were forced here made us believe that, you know, we better stay here and not go anywhere else because mm-hmm. if we do, the repercussion will occur again. So you could see, like I tell people, it's kind of like post-war, you know, the social behavior and, you know, the fear that we have. But it really has really opened so many doors that now, you know, we have tribal members now coming and doing their sun ceremonies at Oak Flats where it originated, you know, one place that it originated from. But just see that within a year, you know, people coming back in a religious way. And not only that, you know, having non-Indian community members who lived around the area that knew it was religious and now, you know, coming and doing their prayers at Oak Flats has just been, you know, tremendous. And knowing that protecting all the environment there and you know, and then the mining people know I'm there, and just the education of it, getting it out to everybody across the country, how important these places are, because there's not very many places that, like this around anymore, because mm-hmm. we've destroyed a lot of it.
The Biden administration is already taking action on the Keystone Pipeline, but is there anything that can be done to restore the dignity of the native people of that region at this point?
Well, you know, in the Keystone, you know, one of the things is that these places were really, you know, some of the laws or most of the laws were not exempt. But here in this particular fight, you know, is everything was exempt. The NPA, the National Environmental Protection Act, you know, all federal laws that pertain to a land transfer, especially to a foreign mining company, were all exempt. So that's one thing I try to make people understand. You know, I'm not going to have congressional people here, you know, voicing out loud that this is wrong. I'm not going to have movie stars here that are not, you know, going to be voicing out loud, because to them, a lot of them walked away from this because the federal government gave the exemptions. But, you know, I held trust and believed in the people and believed in this wrong that it could be, you know, corrected. And so where we are right now, I tell people that it's in the hands of the federal court, and I'm just praying. You know, I ask people across this country, if you could do anything for me, is pray, because if you pray, you get answers what to do. Because right now, like I said, the federal judge is going to have to make a decision. There's going to be an argument for the United States against us on our religious belief. So I think, you know, just knowing those, you know, kind of tells you what to do, because you have senators, congressional leaders in your state that you can call, write them that it's an outrage. And those guys have jurisdiction over the agency. You know, it just takes somebody in Congress or even the president of the United States to say, hey, let's put a hold on this. And then let's relook at this, because, again, you know, the very important information through NEPA that provides our congressional leaders to make good decisions have been all exempt. So that's why, you know, we're not getting help from anyone. But, you know, now I have it in the hands of the court. And, you know, I tell myself, what more can I do? All my life, but on this issue since we got wind, or I got wind of it, like around 1999, 2000, you know, I've been on this on day one, and it's just been really, really ugly with them trying to get exemptions. And finally, when John McCain gave them full exemptions, you know, just nobody knows the pros and cons, and it's going to be devastating, not just to us people losing our religion. You know, that's going to be big, but, you know, it's going to ruin the Southwest. You're talking about deep water that goes everywhere, and we just gave it over, you know, to a mining company that's foreign.
Dr. Nosy, what are the next steps at Oak Flat?
Well, right now, what I'm looking at is, you know, I'm there. I mean, like I said, from a legal standpoint, you know, it's in the hands right now with the federal court. And I'm praying. You know, I've asked people, you know, that this is the time to come, you know, whatever religious faith we have, you know, to come and say a prayer, because now we're waiting for the outcome of the federal court, you know. And I guess every time a decision is going to be made based on that will kind of dictate, you know, what's going to be next. But like I did tell, you know, the people that asked me, you know, what happens, you know, with my presence there, because I've been living there. And I tell them that what's really sad is that the United States is just washing their hands clean, and they're turning me over to Resolution Copper. And, you know, and what a lot of people don't know is that Resolution Copper's security is the security that they have all over the world that's been really abused to the human justice. And they're here, you know, yes. they're patrolling the area. And so what I see, like I tell people, is that, you know, as soon as the United States walks away from this, they're leaving me in their hands, and I'm just going to have to take it as it comes. You know, I said, and, you know, here we gripe about what's going on in the third world, and then it's happening right here, you know, that Rio Tinto, you know, has the security here, and they're the ones that are going to be ruling the land. It just doesn't make sense.
Wessler Nosy Sr. is an activist and former chairman and councilman of the San Carlos Apache Tribe. He put his life quite literally on the line in working to stop the betrayal of sacred Apache lands into Arizona, and continues to work with the organization Apache Stronghold. Dr. Nosey, thank you so much for taking this time to be with us on State of Belief Radio.
Okay, thank you very much, and blessings to everyone. Thank you.